Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker and Ray, and we thank you for listening. And you can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube if you want to. And we're also posting the stories we talk about so you can read them for yourselves on our Facebook page. So just go to Today's Issues. I'm Tim Wildman, again, with Walker. Steve Jordahl now joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm great. It's a good day here in Tupelo.
What do you got?
Can we start with the NBA? I know we've been talking about this. They're in China right now. The several teams are over there doing preseason games, and there's been this whole thing about the Hong Kong thing. You remember one of the GM for one of the teams tweeted out support for the Hong Kong protesters. The NBA is highly invested in communist China as far as merchandise and agreements and playing games, and that didn't go over well with the Chinese government.
What didn't go over well?
The tweet from the GM of the...
You mean supporting the Hong Kong
protest? Supporting the Hong Kong protest.
Okay.
And so China said they were going to pull the coverage of the preseason game, and yesterday, President Trump got into it a little bit with a couple NBA coaches. So reporters doing their duty asked two coaches. They asked the Golden State Warriors coach Steve Kerr and the San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich. They wanted to know what they thought about the whole China thing. I want you
before you play this.
Yes.
Let me set this up. Excuse me for interrupting, and I'm rare to do that, but I really am. In my own mind.
Let me
set this up a little bit more.
Okay.
These two coaches who were one of them's legendary, and the other one may be when he's
on his way.
When
yeah.
he's finished. Popovich. Okay, the San Antonio Spurs.
Right.
He'll be in the Hall of Fame. He's a great coach. Mm-hmm. No question about it. But he's always popping off about President Trump.
Yes.
And he's also talking about he's very PC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he's a social justice warrior, as is Kerr.
Well, Kerr's a warrior.
Yeah, duly noticed, Steve. But anyway, so these guys are always, got something to say, about those kinds of issues. So here we now have communist China, which has a well-documented history of human rights abuses.
Right.
And now the attention is that these two coaches are going to get asked about, they're always talking about how bad America is and all our problems, right?
Right.
And
to add to that, Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, refused to go to the White House on several of the trips.
Yes, refused to go to the White House, but he'll go to China.
But he'll go to China after the Warriors won one of their three world championships. So yesterday, they kind of had it out. This is a montage. This is first you're going to hear Steve Kerr, then you're going to hear Greg Popovich, and then you're going to hear from President Trump. This is cut five.
It's a really bizarre international story, and a lot of us are, don't know what to make of it. So it's something I'm reading about, and just like everybody is, but I'm not going to comment further.
He's been a heck of a leader in that respect, and very courageous. It wasn't easy for him to say. He said that in an environment fraught with possible economic peril.
I watch this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. And he'll talk about the United States very badly. I watched Popovich, sort of the same thing, but he didn't look quite as scared, actually.
What did Popovich say?
Popovich was talking about the NBA commissioner Stern, who said, "No, we're going to let our players." After the first tweet was taken down, we're going to let our players talk about whatever they want. That's what NBA commissioner Daniel Stern said the other day. After this tweet was taken down and the NBA started getting some pushback.
Why was it taken down?
Well, he took it down because it offended.
Who took
China,
it down?
The GM who originally sent the tweet.
Okay, just so people understand, You got the general manager of the Houston Rockets,
yes,
which is an NBA franchise for those who don't follow professional basketball. And he tweets support of the Hong Kong protesters for freedom. They're standing for freedom over there.
Yep.
But I understood that he being the GM, got backlash from the NBA. He didn't?
I think he kind of realized on his own what he had done and took it down, because Daniel Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, came out the next day and said, "We are not going to censor our players."
Well, then what's the story then?
Well, here's the story. Just today, there's a basketball game in China. It would be yesterday our time. And CNN reporter Christina McFarlane was at a press conference in China. And at this press conference were two NBA players, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, two of the biggest NBA stars now playing the game. I want you to hear, listen for the question, and then listen to the NBA's press moderator. This is cut 17.
Hi, Christina McFarlane, CNN. The NBA has always been a league that prides itself on its player and its coaches being able to speak out openly about political and societal affairs. I just wonder, after the events of this week and the fallout we've seen, whether you would both feel differently about speaking out in that way in future. It's a legitimate question. This is an event that's happened this week during the NBA. This particular question has not been answered. James.
Any other questions?
The NBA says we're only taking basketball questions. You can't ask that question.
Go ahead, Ray.
Wow. The NBA, they are such hypocrites. We've talked about that. They moved the All-Star game a couple of years ago out of North Carolina,
yes,
right, because of the bathroom bill. So,
yeah.
You know, they were sure.
They were taking a stand.
Oh, they
for
were
the right for men to go to little girls' bathrooms.
Yes.
Right.
And they
were so brave.
That's a hill to die on right there. We're going to move the game if you don't let men in little girls' bathrooms in North Carolina.
They don't want any of their people saying anything on behalf of the Hong Kong protesters, because the NBA is big business in China.
I got to hear Steve Kerr again. That was classic. Here's a man who's well-read, he's educated, he follows the news, he's well-spoken. If you've heard him before, I don't agree with his politics necessarily, but he's an educated man. And about China, I want you to hear him play dumb. Play that clip from him again.
It's a really bizarre international story, and a lot of us don't know what to make of it, so... It's something I'm reading about, and just like everybody is, but I'm not going to comment further.
He's been
just stop that.
Brother.
Adam Stern is the NBA commissioner.
Who
not David.
Are you trying to
Adam
kid?
Silver. Yeah. It's true. I made a mistake when I said David Stern. I think he was. It's Adam Silver that made – he's now the NBA commissioner.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
But he just fell over himself. To say that was word salad. To say nothing.
You know, this just proves that folks like this have no core value system.
They virtue signal.
They virtue signal, and they go wherever the wind blows,
wherever the money goes.
Well,
usually.
Where the wind is blowing the money.
Yeah, but here's what they just need to say. They just need to come out and say, We're a for-profit business, and wherever it's financially feasible for us to take political stands, we're going to do so. Wherever it's not politically or financially feasible, then we're going to keep our mouths shut. Because that's what they're doing.
That would be the truth.
So they got pushback from the communist China.
Steve Kerr. China, where is that exactly? Hey, Steve, have you ever heard of Tiananmen Square incident? No, but I'm probably going to read about it one day.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Don't give me that. Just say, Walker, that would be the best thing to say.
Right.
Steve Kerr, just say, listen, I'm not going to go to our team is not going to go to the White House, because we stand for social justice.
Right.
And we're taking a stand. But when it comes to communist China, one of the most brutal regimes in the world.
There's money to be made there.
We're not going to take a stand. In fact, we'll go to Beijing. We'll go to their White House if we need to, because it means money for the league. right? For
right.
the owners.
There
that's
you go.
Basically what they're saying.
Yeah.
So, now, to the credit of some of the sports media, they have called out the NBA or some of these guys over in the NBA over the hypocrisy.
Well, and Christine McFarland there, who was asking the question.
Right. From CNN.
From CNN. Very persistent and good for her to do that.
For her. Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
Staying in Hong Kong, we now have another American company who's compromising, kind of like the NBA. under pressure from Beijing, Apple has removed the smartphone app called HK Map Live from its online store Thursday. HK Map Live was an app that the the Hong Kong protesters would use because it gave real-time police movements, where they could go to avoid the gas and the tear gas and the charges and, in some cases, live bullets. So this was an app that the protesters were using to kind of get around the city without having to run across police. And Beijing pressured Apple to remove it. Apple removed it. I have some tweets here from my friend Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana who brings up some good points. He says, yet another American company bends to the dictates of the Chinese Communist Party. Now it's Apple who self-censors to not offend Chinese Communist Party apparatchiks. That's the Russian name for party people. At the expense of pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. Apple removed from its app store. I told you that. This is also not the first time Apple has yielded to China. Apple just removed the Taiwanese flag emoji from its keyboard for users in Hong Kong and Macau. In 2017, Apple removed from its App Store 600 virtual private network apps, allowing users to evade censorship in China. It feels obligated to remove content it feels may facilitate harm to law enforcement. He says, this is Jim Banks talking, Congressman, I'm curious to hear Apple's thoughts on apps used by extremist groups here in the U.S., like Antifa, to mobilize and achieve similar objectives, whether those apps should be moderated too.
Walker. Well, yeah, this has been going on for years now, and what I'm talking about is this exact situation where American companies, specifically the big tech companies, Apple, Google, Facebook, etc., they virtue signal domestically and talk about how everybody's a victim and how we need social justice, all of the things we've been talking about. But then they go over to these foreign countries where there's horrendous human rights issues, and they partner with the local governments to further the human rights abuses.
Right.
And so they totally discredit themselves, and it's really all about where the money is. That's all that these companies are about, and I really don't blame them, but they need to stop acting like there's some moral... they're a moral arbiter.
When it's easy to do. I remember when PayPal, speaking of the, remember when, Ray, you were talking about the HB2 bill
right.
in North Carolina. And just to refresh and remind everybody, the city of Charlotte passed a bill. Well, it's not, I don't know if it's called a bill in the city council, but
I think it was
a law,
an ordinance.
And so they changed, the city council of Charlotte changed the law to allow for
men in women's bathrooms.
But for men to be able to go into women's bathrooms and changing areas and such if they wanted to. If they, all they had to do is say, I feel like a woman today, and you can go in there with the 8-year-old girls. So the state legislature of North Carolina said, no, we're going to reverse that. That's nuts, and we're not going to have that kind of stuff in our state. So that's when the whole world came down on North Carolina for being transphobic.
Including the NBA.
NBA. So PayPal comes in, the company PayPal comes in and says, we will not be building our new facilities we had planned on here in North Carolina because we are so appalled by this transphobic attitudes as expressed by the people of North Carolina. Well, it was then learned just a few days later that one of PayPal's international international centers was located in, was it Malaysia?
I think yes. Malaysia, yeah.
In Malaysia, where they cane gays. If you don't get out a cane,
yes,
huh?
Bamboo stick,
and beat them if they find out that they're homosexual. Mm-hmm. Look that up. See if I'm not right on Malaysia.
Right. It's Malaysia.
So here's PayPal, you know, acting like they're all righteous about this, while like they care about LGBTQ people to the point where they won't bring their business to North Carolina over that issue, but yet they'll set up shop in a country that allows for the physical beatings of LGBT people. You see what I'm saying? It's just virtue signaling, as yes. It says. It's phony.
Yes.
Walker, what you're saying, a phony, quote, conviction. Are you looking that up?
Yeah,
because I want to be accurate on that.
Yes. This is a Washington Times article back in 2016 when the North Carolina situation was going on, but PayPal does have a headquarters office in Malaysia, and their law allows the caning of anyone guilty of homosexual conduct.
Right. So PayPal is operating in a country that allows for physical beatings of gays.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make clear, but they object to North Carolina wanting to keep men out of the bathrooms with little girls.
Right.
All right, makes sense of that one. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Next story, Steve.
I want to salute the bravery and the steadfastness of Hawaii Congresswoman and presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard. She's taking a stand, and I want you to hear the stand that she's taking. I'm going to ask for cut 18.
She even made the debates.
Well, let's listen to what she's saying here.
Thing with you that's very important. There are so many of you who I've had the opportunity to meet in Iowa and New Hampshire who've expressed to me how frustrated you are that the DNC and the corporate media are essentially trying to usurp your role as voters in choosing who our Democratic nominee will be. I share your concerns, and I'm sure that all of our supporters throughout the country do as well. Now, the 2016 Democratic primary election was rigged by the DNC and their partners in the corporate media against Bernie Sanders. In this 2020 election, the DNC and the corporate media are rigging the election again, but this time it's against the American people. And they're holding so-called debates, which really are not debates at all, but rather commercialized reality television meant to entertain rather than to inform or enlighten. So in short, the DNC and the corporate media are trying to hijack the entire election process. So in order to bring attention to the serious threat to our democracy and to ensure that your voice is heard, I'm seriously considering boycotting the next debate on October 15th.
She's going to boycott the October 15th debate. Here she was invited to the October 15th debate so far. Joe Biden, Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, Tom Steyer, Elizabeth Warren, and Andrew Yang. She's not even invited.
She's made the debate. Boycott the debate. She wasn't invited to. Okay.
She hasn't yet been invited. By the way, I'm announcing today I also will boycott the Democrat debate.
I'm joining you in that boycott.
As will I. We have to take a stand.
We do.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. So you boycott something you're not.
Right?
Now, what the Democrats party is using is you have to have a certain level of support.
Yes. You have to have small donors, you have to have poll numbers, and then you have to have total dollars raised, I think, is the three. She's qualified in one of the three to this point.
You know what? Personally, I don't think it does the Democrats any good to have these debates. I think it only hurts them.
She was kind of right. It's so many people on the stage.
Well, so many people on the stage, but it exposes their far, far left views to a wide audience, right? And I think that doesn't help them. Go ahead.
Well,
you disagree on that, or
no? I don't disagree. But what else are they going to do? They start. What do they start with? 24 candidates. What's it down to now? We've had some people drop out that the rest of us went. We didn't even know you were in the race, right?
I would say they still have over 10.
That 10? Seems right.
Yeah. I would say so. At least 10 still in the race. There's probably about anywhere from 6 to 10 who have some kind of prominence.
Well, what I see happening is on these debates, like the debate in Miami, that first one where they said everybody in favor of giving free health insurance to people who come here illegally, raise your hand. and all the hands fly up.
Sure.
They can't get up fast enough, you know. And the average American out there, maybe not conservative, maybe not liberal, but just a middle-of-the-road person's thinking, and probably a lot of liberals, quite frankly, are thinking that's ridiculous to promise free health care for people who everybody who can come here illegally. But here's what I'm saying. I'm using this as an example. Had they not had that question come up at the debate, maybe this is unavoidable because they have to have debates, but I'm just saying then they wouldn't have had to raise their hands, which now President Trump can use that in a
commercial.
A commercial.
Yeah.
Is this kind of people you really want to vote for? So I think if they can, the Democrats hide, and I think Biden would have been their best chance to hide their far left agenda behind what people consider to be more of a center left reasonable candidate. But now I think his star's fading, if he ever had a star, talking about Biden. And Elizabeth Warren she's a liberal. You got to be very, very, very far left to be a supporter of Elizabeth Warren.
And I don't know how she, if she gets the nomination, is going to be able to appeal in a general election against President Trump when she's got to get centrist, moderate, and Republican votes.
If you're a Democrat Party leader, you've got to be thinking of all the years that we don't have a starting quarterback. You know
and
what I'm saying?
Here it is. Right. Here it is.
We don't even have. I'm looking. They're looking down the list at Joe Biden, and they're thinking he can't even throw anymore.
Right.
You know,
Bernie had a heart attack.
You know, he can't take a snap. Yeah. You know, who do we have over there? We'll get Warren, Pocahontas Warren, and her far and
fired for being pregnant.
Get rid of private health insurance.
Yeah.
Well, that'll fly, won't it? That's what she's promoted and touted, right?
Getting rid of
private health insurance.
Yeah, I think there's only
Medicaid
one or two who do not want to get rid of private insurance.
That's yeah.
Out of the 10 or 15.
Biden's the only one that's not completely sold out to the secular progressive agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you folks, I know what's going on here, okay, with Joe Biden. Okay, I know that. But he's pandering to these people. Even though I don't even know if he believes it in his own heart, a lot of these far left ideas, my guess is he would think, what?
Right.
On some of them, right? Don't you think so?
Right.
On some of the ideas.
But by nature,
yeah.
He's a politician. He's been there all his life. He's by nature more cautious and more toward the middle. But he can't say that. Can't dare say that and hope to get the nomination.
No, he can't. Got it. So whatever crazy far left idea the rest of the pack comes up with, he's got to raise his hand too.
Right.
Was it the free health insurance for everybody who comes here illegally? Was that the one where he went halfway up with his hand?
I think
there
was
one of them. He went halfway up.
Yeah, there was some hesitation there.
Yeah,
it was like, what am I? Everybody else is. You talking about a moment of peer pressure? Everybody else is raising their hand. And he's probably thinking, well, I didn't really hear the question, but I better go halfway, cause.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a bigot. I'm already a white male.
Yeah, because the left would have pushed back.
You're already
against
in
him
trouble.
I'm already in trouble just by being on the stage.
Right.
Because I'm a white male, I better throw my hand up here for free health care for illegal people who come here illegally. All right, Ray, thank you.
My pleasure.
Steve, thank you, my friend.
Pleasure.
I thank Walker and Brent. Brent runs the controls for us, and he did today. And thank Chris for his contributions last hour. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Take care.